Hello, and welcome to Rewatchable, episode number 33
of Veronica Mars.
Episodes 11.
11.
Donut Run. And 12.
And 12.
Rashad and Wallace
go to White Castle.
With me today, I have Danielle.
Hello.
Hi, Danielle. How are you doing today, Danielle?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today, Danielle?
I am great, Danielle. Thanks for asking.
I can't handle this. Oh, goodness. I don't even know where to go from here.
Our contact info, if you want to reach us, is rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. And our Twitter handle is @re_watchable. You can also comment on this post at hypable.com. Let's start off with episode 11, Donut Run. Danielle?
The synopsis for episode 11, Donut Run, reads, in this episode, Duncan and Veronica break up in an absurdly public fashion after she accuses him of sleeping with Kendall Casablancas. Not an entirely unreasonable assumption, considering Kendall has been literally whoring herself out to every Neptune teenager with a trust fund. After the breakup, Veronica does what we all do when we're feeling melodramatic and eats copious amounts of cereal while watching Dawson's Creek on repeat. But the moping doesn't last for long when she gets dragged into an FBI investigation over Duncan's disappearance and the kidnapping of Meg's baby. How about you, Danielle?
Veronica appears to cooperate fully with the investigation, but as it turns out, she was, of course, the mastermind behind Duncan's disappearance. After promising to love each other forever and ever, yada yada, they trick Sheriff Lamb into driving Duncan across the Mexican border, where he is able to meet up with Vinnie Van Lo, his baby, and his mother's pretty blonde assistant. Duncan names the baby Lily, and considering the relationship she had with her own parents, that's not a super great omen, but it's still the cutest thing the guy has done since we found out he possibly date-raped his half-sister. Most importantly, after Papa Mars finds out Veronica's been lying to him all along, he tells her that while he'll always love her, he'll never really be able to trust her again. Ouch. Danielle?
Meanwhile, the epic romance is back as Weevil and Logan try to figure out who killed Felix. And after finding out that one of Weevil's bikers is selling drugs for the Fitzpatricks, the dynamic duo also discovers that Felix was romancing Molly Fitzpatrick on the side. Hubba hubba. Also, P.S. Wallace admits to Veronica that the real reason he left Chicago was because he witnessed a hit-and-run accident involving his friend Richard, the most sought-after high school basketball player in the nation. But more on that next episode.
Whew, great job, Danielle.
Thank you, Danielle. I feel that we really encapsulated those episodes.
Danielle, you did such a good job. Both of you.
All claps for Danielle. Good job, Danielles.
You know,
with the real Slim Shady, please stand up. Please stand up.
If Mitch were here, the first thing I would want to tell him is that I'm sorry for his loss. Because he lost Meg, and I feel really bad for him.
That's it. That's all I got.
That's it. That's all you got.
No, it was a bummer that she died, but I have to tell you, I knew she was a goner the minute that she told Veronica. What did she say? She's like, if anything happens to me,
oh,
take care of my baby.
I
was like, oh, yeah. She's dead. She's dead.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, that's just like the classic line to be like, please take care of my baby. And then Veronica would be like, no, you're going to be fine. And then she just smiles and, you know, like pulls a Padme from Star Wars and just,
Yeah, but I am very sorry. Oh, well.
I'm mourning my loss.
Danielle, would we like to jump into discussion points?
I'd love to, Danielle.
Yes.
Okay. So let's first talk about Veronica's epic breakup playlist. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much did you enjoy that?
Well, that was fabulous.
It was so great.
Even though it was a faux breakup thing, it was still like, I would do that. Wouldn't you, Danielle?
I would totally do that.
How about you, Danielle?
I found out that it's a real album that she used.
Really?
I think it's called The Suicidal Virgins. movie mm-hmm. album.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Is that like a classic movie that I should know? Because if not, it sounds extremely
no,
cheesy.
It's like kind of a random movie, but...
Is it like really niche-y?
I found that out like when Rocky I was writing the recap. I'm not entirely sure. I had never heard of it before, but then again, I haven't heard of a lot of things.
I just was about to make a Twilight reference, but I stopped, so there we go. Just,
thank you.
Just so y'all know, I'm learning.
Thank
it's like electrotherapy.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yes. quick question. How long did it take you to figure out that Veronica was in on it? Or did you figure it out right away?
I didn't guess. I really should have, but I didn't. I didn't see it at all.
I thought she was in on it from the very beginning, especially because their breakup scene was so weird. They were sitting there, they were breaking up in front of like all these people who were like pointing and jeering. And I was like, this isn't really like classic Veronica or Duncan even. But
yeah, pretty much.
I actually, for a brief period, I thought that Papa Mars was in on it too. But then I realized he wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew that's he wasn't when it, like he was making his sandwich and he heard the music and he just goes back to making his sandwich. And then he's awake at 6 a.m. from her like restarting her music ritual again the next day. And he's just like, all right, I gotta go check in on this. And she's all like, I broke up with Duncan. He's like, I guess that much.
She probably was actually sad, though, since she thought, well, she knew he was going to leave soon.
Yeah, that she'd never see him again.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a good idea. Well, yeah, that answers my question. I was going to ask, like, why is she sitting behind closed doors being sad if she didn't have a reason to? But I guess she does, because she really is losing him.
She really is. She had to play it off well, too, so it's kind of a mixture of both.
Yeah, and maybe it's just, like, getting into character behind closed doors.
Yeah, there you go. Doing all the, like, warm-up actor exercises and all that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What's the thing they do from High School Musical? Boo, boo, boo,
ma.
Ma. I swear I've done those things in acting school. That's not even like an exaggeration. That's exactly what they would do. I'm sure they do that for Veronica Mars and they have like a shouting scene. Boo, boo, ma. I hate you, Duncan. Leave me now.
But speaking of Veronica and Duncan, how did you guys actually agree with them? Because they did technically like kidnap an American citizen and smuggle her over to Mexico.
Yep.
So are these special circumstances or what do you think? Should teenagers be making these kinds of life decisions?
Good question. The good boy inside of me says no, but the one that loves Veronica says, you know, bitch, please, she'll do what she wants.
Yeah. Like, she is competent, I feel, to make a lot of decisions. I'm not sure this level she's competent enough for. But as they were asking, like, or saying that there are other things that she could have done, I tried thinking of everything, and I feel like nothing else would have been successful, at least that I could come up with. Because
you don't think they would have granted the baby? Well, they're 18. Veronica served on a jury. She's definitely 18.
True.
Also, 18-year-olds never serve on juries, but that's beside the point. But you really don't think they would have granted custody to the father versus the grandparents? That seems like he has, it's not like he's poor. He has a ton of money. And then also, they definitely could have gotten Sheriff Lamb to testify against Meg's parents.
Yeah, and he seemed like he wanted to be on Veronica and Duncan's side for a while after he saw that, but all of a sudden, he kind of just dropped the ball and was like, actually, I don't like Veronica again. And I was like,
well, come on, man,
we had a heart-to-heart. Like, you saw what was going on, and you'll protect the baby. Because remember when Veronica goes...
He kidnapped the baby.
I mean, totally.
He was doing his job.
Totally, but when Veronica says to Lamb, pretty much giving away her whole entire involvement... Don't you think the baby's better off now as opposed to at Meg's parents? And he's just like, no.
I just feel like the evidence against Meg's parents might have been a little too circumstantial, like we were discussing the last time when we dealt with it. And they could have easily proved Duncan incompetent because of his mental history.
Yeah, and that's something that came up in my brain when the FBI agent was like, any history of mental illness, is there any chance he'd just say goodbye, cruel world?
Right.
And I was just like, maybe, actually.
Yeah, but now he definitely looks like crazy. Now if they ever get the baby, like if they ever find the baby, he's getting it taken away.
Well, let's be about this, Adriana. If he's a regular on this show, he's going to show up at least once more during this season. Well, he had Wallace with like a 2-episode gap that he wasn't on. I'm not sure how many more episodes we have left in this season. I could guess.
I could check that really quickly. I have my box right next to me.
Oh, you're too cute. I'd say about 12 if I had to guess.
Let's see. We have episode 22 is the last one. So yeah, we have
10.
Yeah, 10.
We have 10 past this episode of Veronica Mars rewatchable. Yeah, so I feel like he's going to have to show up again, Adriana, but he's going to be in jail. So who knows what's going to happen to the baby. $5, the baby's going to get, not like stolen or lost, but maybe that sleazy private investigator will like, I don't know, keep it in Mexico. I don't know. There's going to be something where Duncan's going to have to come back because they don't just get rid of a regular this early on in the season. There's going to have to be more plot with him.
Okay, yeah. What is Vinny Van Lo's deal? I was super confused. Like, what was in that letter? And he was trying to find him, but then he was like, never mind, you pay more. I didn't understand. And Astrid, the secretary or whatever, to his mother?
Yeah.
Inga.
Like, no, it was...
Mrs. Kane. I didn't notice that was her, so good job on that one.
Well, I didn't either. I read it in a recap. but...
Wait, what?
What was the point? Okay, remember the one that Veronica thought was the daughter?
Of Celeste Kane.
Of Celeste Kane.
Yes.
The secretary?
Yes.
She was in the truck with Vinny and Duncan and the baby in Mexico.
Wait, that wasn't a secretary. That was, you guys are calling her secretary.
Assistant.
Right, exactly. I was thinking the lady who was doing the laundry, the bottle blonde. She calls herself the bottle blonde.
Yeah, that one.
Right.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, that's random. Why would she all of a sudden come back? To like
hang out with Celeste?
Why is she like helping steal the... She was helping Celeste?
Maybe she just hates Celeste after all these years and she knows that she doesn't want a baby under the control of Celeste. I know that Celeste doesn't want to be a grandmother, but she might force that baby to stay in a bad house. So this is just the way of the assistant saying, I'm going to keep that baby out of both bad houses and I'm going to get it out into Mexico.
This was dumb. Like, it didn't make sense. Okay. Duncan has so much money. They could have hired, like, Celeste. She would have gotten the best freaking lawyers for him. And it's not like, okay, I would understand more if it was, like, Weevil or somebody poor who was trying to compete against the, like, rich O-Niners. But they're equally rich. They could have totally won.
I think Celeste was completely against it, though. So I don't think he would have had any... help their support or monetary or otherwise. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he would have gotten that.
And in terms of Vinny Van Lo, he can be bought out easily. That's kind of how his character is. So wherever he gets more money, that's the side that he goes on to. So I think the letter Veronica handed to him was a letter about how much they would be willing to pay him. How much more than Celeste they would be willing to pay him to help them instead of Celeste.
Oh, so he wasn't in on it up until she gave him that confidential letter.
I don't think so, no.
Mm. It's kind of fun that Veronica Mars doesn't answer those kind of questions because they want us to like sit and do what we're doing and figure them all out for our own. It's not like they're like big things that are left open, but they're just little like knick-knacky things that you're just like, wait, I don't see how that those two puzzle pieces fit together.
Yeah.
From the way you reacted to the Astrid thing, that makes me think that she's not coming up again, and that's kind of annoying, because she's like a very, very, very minor character to be in on this thing.
Yeah. I mean, keep this in mind, my memory on season 2 is really bad. I was talking to Gabrielle about it like yesterday or 2 days ago, and I honestly can't remember quite a few character storylines in season 2 beyond like the big ones. So she may come up again, and I just don't remember it.
So it's like you're a newbie just like us.
A lot of times,
that's exciting.
Yay. We all like newbies. We always get in all of our reviews and stuff. Everyone's like, I love the newbies.
Yeah, everybody loves the newbies. Not the super fans, but the newbies, which is totally fine.
Well, because we say ridiculous things like, oh, I love Aaron Eccles. He's so great.
And Lick is totally going to happen.
And yes. Exactly, especially that one.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's the epitome of the newbie status of Adriana and I, those two things.
Okay, so something really important that I want to discuss.
All right.
Yes.
Duncan Kane's password, was that like a real thing? Did Veronica do it? Because it was weird. The Meg Kane spelled backwards.
That was a little bit too convenient, if you ask me. Like,
yeah,
that was easy enough for the FBI agents to find and to then assume that Duncan was stupid because he would make his ex-girlfriend's full name, his password backwards. You know, I think that was meant
to be easy enough. It wasn't her name. It was his name. It was her with his last name. So, like, if she was his wife.
Oh, I didn't put two and two together.
Yeah, I think it would be like to show not only that he was maybe they were underplaying his intelligence, but also to give more motive as to kind of how crazy he might be. Because, I mean, not that it's completely crazy. I know a lot of people do it, but writing your name with like your crush's last name kind of makes you a little bit. It doesn't put a good light on you. And so I feel like it works the same way with him having that as his password.
But did they even get anything out of that computer? Like, what was important in there that they needed? It was like the receipt that he bought a boat, which was meant to lead them to go look for the diaper and SpaghettiOs boat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. I'm sure they wiped everything.
But that didn't even like do anything because at that point, they were still checking border control, but if you're on a boat, I guess you've already gotten past the border patrol. Can you do that in water? I don't know. I assume you can't, like, pass the border in water and be fine, right?
I mean, in general, I feel like for an investigation, they would need to get into that stuff. Like, it's not something they ask for special. It's kind of just like a normal occurrence now, because everybody has computers.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I didn't see it as too out of the ordinary, just because it's a thing.
All right.
So, related to that password, I just wanted to point out that it really reminded me of Gossip Girl and how Nate has had the same password for like 10 years, and it's soccer. Because Duncan is definitely the Nate Archibald of Veronica Mars.
No, Nate is so much better.
I know, he's so much better. But if we had to pick a Nate Archibald, it would be
Duncan.
Yes.
Danielle, even you are dissing on Duncan.
I know.
I'm glad you're joining the train, because that train is chugging away with Duncanators.
No, see, this was my progression. By this point in the season, I was done. When Kendall Casablancas would show up in their like hotel room the first time, by then I was done.
Okay, so did he actually sleep with her? This is important to me.
I don't think he did that last time when she was there showering. I think maybe he just invited her over and asked her to shower first. I don't know. But I don't think that he would have slept with her earlier just because of his reaction to saying goodbye to Veronica.
I think he did. I think he had to both times. The first time he did it because he was being a sleazebag. Second time he did it because he was kind of a sleazebag and he knew he was going to enjoy it. But it was also going to kill two birds with one stone, because then Kendall wouldn't go and blabber that she really didn't sleep with him and that she was setting it all up. Because she's a dumb bimbo who will take, you know, she's just like Vinny. She'll take whatever person gives her the most money. So it was all a ploy to make sure that Logan was out of the picture and realize that the relationship was done. So. That's another reason I don't like Duncan, because he just is so lame and malleable. It doesn't seem to me like he knows exactly what's going on all the time. He just kind of is like, I have feelings! And then he just makes rash decisions on them. I'm going to kick this car a lot, but then get that girl pregnant that sees me being all crazy. I'm with you guys in the last episode, Danielle, that was insane, the way that Duncan and Meg were, A, having sex, B,
When that would happen, because he was crazy at that point.
Yeah, exactly. I think that scene still plays in my mind when I think of Duncan's rash decisions, and I just can't believe that Veronica would go with a man that would act like that ever.
But maybe they just had sex like after the 80s dance. He was still fine. He wasn't weird then.
But I feel like that would be completely against Meg's character to just jump in right away.
Because they weren't dating for long. That was the first date.
They really weren't dating for long.
Yeah, so that's why the storyline for pregnancy doesn't work. The characters that dated each other, you know, Megan and Duncan, and then Duncan and Veronica don't work. That's why I was disconnected from the storyline, because it all was just so much of, like, weird things that characters shouldn't be doing, because they've been developed differently.
So, do we think that Meg's death we were talking about in the last episode how Meg's death was kind of a means to an end rather than something fulfilling for her character. Mm. Do we think that her death then was a means to get rid of Duncan?
Yeah, makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Not like
I guess so. That's really unfortunate because she was much more interesting than Duncan.
Seriously. Yeah.
I was not really happy with the way that played out. I thought it was so soap opera-y. Like, mm-hmm. Veronica walks in and, oh, there she is with a giant belly.
Yeah, she hears the two heartbeats, right?
Yeah, like, really, if they wanted to make this more emotional, I really feel like they should have killed her in the first episode. That's when I would have cared. By this point, I just didn't care anymore. She's been gone. Yeah, she's been gone so long, I'm over it.
Totally.
Fun fact. So, after I watched the episodes, they actually had one deleted scene on this disc. And it would have made Veronica's discovery of Meg's belly, like, even more soap opera-y.
Oh, God.
Because in that deleted scene, what happens is that Veronica sees the belly, and then she hears someone coming, so she hides in the hospital room bathroom. And hears Meg's mom talking to Meg. And then all of a sudden, Meg's mom leaves, and she hears everything flatline. And Meg's mom had tried to suffocate Meg, or had suffocated Meg with a pillow.
Oh, shut up.
I'm completely
shut confused. Up.
I think it was Meg's mom. I'm almost positive because she was talking to her like, honey, whatever. But
that's big.
Suffocated her with a pillow. And so Veronica comes, takes the pillow off Meg's face. And then, of course, the nurse walks in and says, what are you doing?
Does she get resuscitated?
It ends with, what are you doing?
That's so weird.
I don't think so. I have no idea what's going on.
So then Veronica's framed for Meg's death?
Yeah. But like, how soap opera-y is that? I love you, honey, but I'm going to suffocate you now.
Oh, that's way too much. Especially if with the baby.
Why would she do that? That's really weird.
It's creepy. I'm glad they didn't go that way.
Yeah, that's just stupid, though. Like,
but wouldn't that make them a little bit more interesting if they were, like, psycho killers, too?
Yeah, it would. Because that makes everybody more interesting.
It does.
Yeah.
Aaron Eccles, he's interesting.
Yeah, he is, you Slytherin.
So, is everybody grateful that Duncan is gone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am, but I have to say, I'm pretty disappointed with the way this played out. I really would have appreciated having the love triangle kind of organically fizzle out and letting Veronica figure out that she actually loved Logan. Because what this reminded me of, have you guys ever seen Smallville?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Okay. So it really bothered me that Lana and Clark got to have this like tragic ending that was so stupid, where like they could never touch each other again, so they couldn't be together, because obviously Clark was already in love with Lois by this point, and he was like, but
he was over
he was over her years ago and in love with Lois, so why couldn't that just be the reason? But no, and this is the same thing that happened. Now Veronica is always going to be in love with Duncan because nostalgia, even though he's stupid.
And quite frankly, for her, this is so vain. I just think that she could do a lot better. She just is, like, so much hotter than him. And he just is, like, maybe it's his personality that brings down his hotness to me. And I feel like she just is better off with Logan because she's going to have, like, I don't know, stimulating conversations with him. She basically owns Duncan when she's dating him. She's always just let me do the heavy lifting. And maybe she likes that, but I don't like that as a viewer. I get bored, so I'm like, ew.
Yeah. No, he's even worse than Wallace. At least Wallace will tell her she smells bad.
Yeah, seriously. And then he tells her he's been owned by her too much. Duncan's just like, wah!
Oh, gosh.
He's just too whiny. He's like typical teenager whiny character. He doesn't do too much. He just like sits around and just like says he hates his life, and then when he does do something, it's just too much.
I just wish his character development would have been so much better, because he had so much potential, and he's the one character I feel like they really dropped the ball on.
Yeah, seriously. It's like, kind of like they just stopped caring, and they were like, well, we know that Duncan was going to be the main love interest and that Logan was going to be a minor character, but we decided to just switch that around, and we had to kind of cover up for ourselves now. So how are we going to do that? We're basically going to kill Duncan off.
Yeah, he might. We might as well get rid of him. Nobody likes him at this point anyway. Our bad.
Yeah, our bad. Hey, we tried it out. And thank God I haven't seen the season 3 DVD cover, because I don't know if he's there or not. So I could be totally making it up if he comes back, Ariana. I don't know.
Good, don't look.
I won't. I will just not. In general. I will not confirm or deny Lick until I see that.
So in terms of this whole Duncan-Veronica situation, do we think that Keith will ever be able to trust Veronica again? Or is it kind of like an eye-opener for Keith Morris saying, like, hey, this is what she's been doing all along, so you should really be watching out for her more than usual?
Did he ever have a reason to trust her before? How many times has she lied and deceived him, you know? Like, why was this the one? You know, she's done a lot of other stuff that's like this.
I guess because she could have been sent to prison. But, I mean, last season she could have gotten herself killed. She almost did.
Seriously, yeah. She's doing, like, dangerous, death-defying stunts all the time. Why now? Was this the final straw?
Yeah, I don't know. He'll go back to trusting her next week. It's fine.
Yeah, totally. He's going to totally forget about it. I don't think this is going to have too much repercussion on their relationship. I do think that it was nice, though, to see a character relationship building moment when he was like, I couldn't live without you if you were in prison. And our hearts all melted.
Yeah. Did you feel, I mean, you obviously felt some sort of sympathy towards him, or like, did you really feel for Keith Mars in that moment?
Yeah, I definitely did.
I was a little surprised that she played him so hard, because like I said, for a while I thought that he was in on it, but then I realized, no, this is insane. No sane adult would help with this. So
why was she not smarter about hiding the area that she was putting the diapers through?
And why didn't the FBI check next door? That was so stupid.
Yeah, like, seriously, come on.
What kind of FBI do we have in this country?
apparently ones that are very cocky because they think they know everything. They don't.
But it, I mean, with every show that you watch, they're either incompetent, like in Supernatural, incompetent, or they're either like the greatest things ever, like Bones.
I wouldn't say that these were incompetent. I'd just say that they had hubris because they decided that they were going to know everything and show up Lamb. And quite frankly, Lamb had a good lead in doing what he was doing, although he was still duped too. I don't know. Yeah. Both were duped by Veronica, not Duncan. He just kind of sat around and took her orders.
Exactly. How is this another stupid thing? He is never going to be able to raise that child by himself in Mexico. Seriously. You think he speaks Spanish? He's too dumb. Like, what's he going to do?
Yeah, he's definitely not going to learn another language at this age. He's going to just, like, I don't know, live on the streets and put on that hobo beard again and hope that he gets some more hitchhiking rides. I don't know.
I could see also, him staying in, like, resort towns where everybody speaks English, or where a lot of people speak English. Because he can't go anywhere else.
Hired as a waiter.
Yeah.
I wonder if Veronica's going to go down and visit him. That'd be interesting. That'd be a good way to bring him back in. That'd be pretty easy.
Spring break! They should all go to him.
I need your help, Duncan.
And how many times are we going to get a Duncan goes off the radar storyline? It already happened once, and that was already ridiculous enough. But now we have one that's even more ridiculous.
Literally, I mean, like, he did go to Cuba. Maybe he picked up some Spanish in Cuba. So,
like, think about this: like, he was holding a baby in a trunk, and it didn't cry once.
Astrid
had the baby.
Vinny Van Lo and Astrid crossed the border with the baby, pretending that it was theirs, and Duncan was the only one in the trunk of the car.
Oh, there we go. That makes more sense now. See,
he's not a child abuser, Mitch.
Well, he might as well be, as much as we hate him. Let's just toss everything else on this jerkhead.
Oh, God.
He is just... Let's look at a good word that Disney villains always use to describe the protagonists. Like, I feel like Ursula would, you know, say something like, Ariel, you're an insolent fool. That's what I feel like. Yeah. I need Ursula to come over to Duncan and tell him that he's an insolent fool.
There you go.
Fix him that up.
I think that gives him a little bit more character, though, than he actually has.
What, that he's dumb?
That he's an insolent fool, yeah.
Insolent fool. You know, that's a very Ursula-like term.
You have to have real thoughts to be a fool. Like, he has no thoughts. Veronica does them all for him.
Seriously. I'll do the heavy lifting for you, honey.
Oh, I feel like we're going to make some people really angry, because I'm sure there are some Duncan supporters out there. Somebody has to like him.
And if you do, tell us why, because we would really be interested in knowing. Maybe there's something we missed.
Hey, maybe guys, you'll change our minds.
Can we talk about the episode title? I have an idea. Is it named Donut Run because his name is Duncan? Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh!
I never understood this episode title. It could be like, Do Not Run. Let me see if I can look it up really quickly.
Donut Run.
Do not run.
Well, there was lots of cops and they eat donuts.
Yeah, and also that could just refer to something like, maybe that's something that people do when they're bringing people over the border illegally. It's called a donut run. Maybe, I don't know. It all sounds like it could be right to me.
That would make sense to me.
People don't really like smuggle people into Mexico.
Yeah, usually it's the opposite.
It's not generally a thing that happens.
It's the other way around.
Yeah. Interesting.
So, you guys probably talked about it last week, but Mitch and I weren't there. So the Bro TP is back.
Oh, seriously?
That's super exciting for me.
It's rocking, actually.
It's like the best thing in the whole world.
And was it in this episode? Yeah, how do it have been? When Weevil kind of just took a beating for his Bro TP.
Yes. No, next episode.
No, it's the next one.
Never mind, that didn't happen yet.
But it
also,
kind of
did. Mitch, I know that you love your dick.
It never gets old.
I love my dick too.
We all love our dick.
I have to say, I kind of love dick now too, and I feel a little bit guilty.
Finally. Beach volleyball, right? The beach volleyball girls, and he's just like stupid. He's like, yeah, baby, daddy's gonna hose you off.
He calls Veronica Ronnie, and that's like the best thing.
Seriously.
That is his nickname for her.
It's so cute.
And Logan just totally owns him. He's just like, you're not too complicated, are you, dick? He's like, no, I try not to be.
Yeah, and he's just like, whatever.
Yeah. He's like, let's go get hardcore drugs, whatever. He's just like down for the ride, you know? Like, he just doesn't care.
Guys, this is the best day ever. I'm so glad you're starting to like dick.
Totally. He's like, he's like the chill character that the show needs because everyone else is so high strung.
I know. I think Dick is actually better than Beaver now. So.
Tough pick. I think Beaver's, he's like this little jaded character now. He just feels like he is angry all the time, and I'm not digging that too much. You're not going to get too far when you're angry.
Yeah.
But I think when you're like Dick and you're just cruising, you'll do better in life. It's just hard to get into that Dick-like mode. I think we all look to be dicks in our lives, don't we? To not worry, to be stress-free and to play beach volleyball all day and just enjoy that and let that be done and be a surfer and bleach your hair with lemons.
What I strive for.
I mean, honestly, if someone bleaches their hair with lemons, they don't care about anything because that's obviously going to kill your hair. But he doesn't care.
Nope.
True sign of a wild man.
Exactly. All right. Well, there is Fitzpatrick and Wallace stuff in this episode, but I feel like it'd be better in the next one. As Ariana
was
on our doc. So let's quickly go through our favorite scenes, favorite lines, and then move on to the next episode. My favorite scene actually has to do with Dick, and it was his pep talk towards the beginning of the episode, right before the like fake breakup. He comes up to Veronica and starts talking to her about how she shouldn't feel too bad and like how, I mean, women like Kendall come along and you shouldn't get mad that your boyfriend sleeps with them or something. He tries so hard to make her feel better, but he has no idea what he's saying.
In his own special way.
So bizarre. I thought he was actually trying to make her feel better.
I think so.
I think he was. I really do. That's his way of doing it.
It's his way of doing it. Yeah.
Totally, yeah.
Oh, he's wonderful. Ariana, what was your favorite scene?
I really enjoyed Veronica's melodramatic wallowing, and bonus points go to Wallace for telling her that she smelled bad. Keeping it real.
Hey, that's what best friends are for, right? And Mitch, your favorite scene?
When Duncan runs away forever. Good riddance. See you.
See ya.
Never again.
So, quick question then. Did you enjoy this episode once you figured out that Duncan was like pretty much going away?
I don't like episodes where I feel like I've been duped. I'm just like, oh, that wasn't fair.
Okay. Fair enough.
I don't think I would watch it again because it was too much, Duncan. But I really enjoyed all the other parts. I really enjoyed Weevil and Logan's storyline.
Yes, me too. And that actually brings me to, Logan. It's a segue towards Logan, I guess. It brings me to one of my favorite lines. And it's more of an exchange between Logan and Veronica. Basically, it happens in the elevator on the way to the hotel room right in the beginning of the episode. Mm. And they start cracking Snow White jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And he just turns to her and goes, "Hi-ho." And they just, and then later he's like, "You must be on your way up to see Mopey." And she counters with, "How's he doing, sleazy?" Mm. And I just enjoyed the Snow White banter.
It's flirty banter, too.
It's good stuff. Yes. Yeah. Mm. Could be. No comment? I don't know. Could be. Ariana,
you can try no comment all you want, but you guys already said the third OTP, so I'm set. I know that love is it. Love is done. We got it set and locked. Duncan's out of there. I'm okay for Logan to swoop on in. That's okay. I'm digging that. He has to get that Casablancas woman out of there, but then we're fine.
Good.
My favorite was Via Wallace's mama, or her saying, which is, "And if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas." I love it. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
And Mitch, what was yours?
Mine was when the agent woman lady, when the female FBI agent was talking to Lamb, and she just like sassing him up the alley because he is just an idiot. And she goes, "Any expertise in computer science, law, physics, chemistry, forensics, mathematics?" He just goes, "Expertise." And then she just mocks him by saying, "Small town, big fish, you know, I'd ride with that." Yeah, you'll never be an FBI agent, Lamb.
I kind of like Lamb, though.
You know what? He's also sexier, growing on me. It's not like, maybe actually it was. When he was shown with his shirt off when he was working out, like that kind of sold him more. And then he was like also on one of those bachelor contests in the town, you know, where they like sell off men or something for the mm-hmm. night. And I was kind of like, I kind of dig Lamb. Like, he's like the person I love to hate right now.
Fair enough. That's how a lot of people feel about him.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. I just like him, but don't listen to me. I liked Aaron Eccles. Everything I say should totally. Be disregarded. But
totally.
Should be taken with a grain of salt there.
Yeah, but he has pretty eyes, too, that I never noticed until this episode. I think it's because I've never seen him flirt with someone before, and his actor turned on, like, this glow in his eyeballs, I swear. It was like they like were backlit. And when he was looking up at the female agent, Morris, she was, you know, having none of it, but he was just like, like Christmas bulbs were in his eyes. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cute.
For Don Lamb.
Yeah, it's cute for Lamb.
Yeah, you know.
I swear, I like him. Like, I think he was sexy if he was playing a different character in a different show. But in this show, I just can't ever find him, like, sexy. It's just kind of, like, cute, if anything. But it's a love-hate thing, you know? It's never going to be, like, Logan.
Nope.
I don't know. We really hated Logan at first, but...
Did we really? I can't even remember the days that I used to hate Logan anymore. I think I just put them in the distant past, because that's where they belong.
Bum fights. He had bum fights.
Oh, yeah. Ouch.
You're just a marshmallow now. You can't even see past your own marshmallowness.
Ah, seriously. I'm a wonderful. Lover, guys. I'm a lover.
Good. Yes. And you know what that means, too. It makes me so happy.
Yeah, naturally.
Yeah.
Because it was liquor or lover, and I've made my decision. I'm now a lover.
Good. Good. Welcome to the ship.
It's sailing strong.
Speaking of people we love, Wallace, which there is a lot of in the next episode.
Yes, let's move to the next episode, yeah. Which is humorously titled "Richard and Wallace Go to White Castle." Makes me happy. And here's the quick synopsis. Synopsis, thanks to our lovely Ariana. In this episode, everything really sucks because Richard's evil uncle, the full Monty, went to the press and accused Wallace of being the hit and run driver. So now, he has to turn himself into the police unless he grabs his Batman and does a little Detective Comics work to prove he's innocent. Veronica and Wallace try and corner Richard to get him to recant, but the evil Full Monty is behind every corner, so they have to enlist the help of resident bitch Jackie to get her to use her legendary bitch face for good, not evil. After stealing the Full Monty's cell phone, Wallace's dad is able to track down the White Castle worker Richard paid off. And guess what? Great news. Wallace is able to play in the Pan High game after all. Priorities. Meanwhile, Weevil tracks down Molly Fitzpatrick, the 35-year-old high school student, and finds out Molly and Felix met at church because, seriously, that's the best place to meet men. And also, her uncle, Patrick Fitzpatrick, is a priest. Convinced that the Fitzpatricks are using the church as a meeting place to deal drugs, Meevil and Logan ask Veronica to bug the confessional, but as it turns out, Veronica does actually have a line she won't cross, and this one involves not pissing off God. Through video footage instead, she finds out that Thumper is working with the Fitzpatricks, but when Meevil confronts him in front of the gang, Thumper accuses him of working with Logan instead. Turns out someone spotted them hashing out their romance at Logan's apartment, and Weevil's homies aren't happy. Comprende? Oh, God. Thumper bumps Weevil out of the gang, beating him to a bloody pulp and driving Weevil's bike into a lake or the ocean, I'm not sure, which is frankly just wasteful. Now, Weevil has to ride the bus, and it probably smells like dead rats, too. Also, Thumper probably killed Felix, and Weevil probably killed Curly Moran. As far as the bus crash goes, Terrence Cook is being questioned by the police, and Veronica and Keith find out that Cook dated Miss Dumas, the teacher who died in the bus crash, also known as Miss Dumbass, according to Dick. Also, Keith figures out that the rat was planted as a way to make the bus smell bad enough that the 09er kids would pay to find a different way home. Curly Moran worked for Big Dick, too, and Gia's dad told her not to get on the bus.
Ooh. There's some nitty gritty details in that Keith Mars tape listening to session. Like, those things were like little sprinkles in the cupcake of this episode, you know?
Yeah.
I know. It's like the answer is somewhere in there, but where?
Yeah. But we were made to, like, not notice it. It was weird because the things that were, like, played in voiceover when Keith Mars was, like, making sandwiches and stuff, like, mm-hmm. they were just so off the cuff, and they get them switching from one person to the next so quickly. So I was like, wait, I can't follow it. Wait, stop. No, stay on that tape. Oh.
And they said things like so nonchalantly, like they were important, and you had to like sit there and think like, wait, what did they just say?
And I'm like, is Gia really that stupid?
Yeah. She's like, yeah, my dad told me not to get on the bus. And like, they were talking about the smell, and they're just like, yeah, like, the smell was really bad, so we just got a limo. But, like, you're putting all these things together, and you're like, wait, that's, like, that was put on there on purpose. The rat, obviously.
Yeah.
So.
I like that you're right, that all buses smell like rats after that. That's funny.
I mean, for different reasons, of course, but.
Yeah.
Rat, nonetheless.
Buses smell really bad.
Yes, they do.
Indeed, they do. That conglomerate of sour yogurt and Cheetos.
And then body odor of teenagers.
All mixed together in one melting pot of goodness.
Ugh, so bad.
Not the kind of melting pot like the fondue restaurant, I'll tell you that.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
I just feel bad for Weevil. He's sitting in that smelly melting pot now, all because of his bare teepee. He didn't deserve that. He really didn't.
Yeah, let's start with Weevil. Let's kind of do things a little out of order, but how did he get bumped out of the gang so quickly? Like, did you feel that was coming, or was it kind of a surprise?
It felt like something out of a Shakespeare play, because it felt random and extreme, and felt 0 to 60, and that's the feelings I always get when there's a power takeover in a Shakespeare play, and I think a good example of that is Macbeth.
Finish your thought.
I forgot my reference.
You're talking
anyways.
About Shakespeare. That's good.
No, yeah, I'm so hoity-toity, guys. Shakespeare.
I felt like it was coming for a while. I was surprised that it took this long, actually, because the way he was talking to people earlier, like the episodes before, when he was like, "You did it, you did it, you did it," like I was really surprised that people were still so behind him. But like, what's the right word? Just like, you know, the way that Veronica kind of orders Duncan around and he's like, whatever. That's kind of how Weevil was. Unquestioningly, that's a good word, behind him.
Yeah, I think they all kind of just got sick of it. It's like a classic bourgeoisie proletariat thing where the lower class wants to take over the upper class because they have a new leader. Think Scar from The Lion King.
And they're right. Weevil doesn't exactly fit into, I mean, obviously he was the leader because he's the smartest one. As Thumper pointed out, but he doesn't really fit into their mentality. Like, he does like hanging out with Logan and Veronica because they can keep up with him and his fast talking and his grand speeches.
So do we think that he's kind of better off without the PCHers? Like, do you like him better now that he's not really attached anymore?
What's he going to do? Matter. Like, who's he have anymore? He's going to have to lend a hand towards some Niners and hang out with them and start doing grand speeches to them, I suppose, if he has to get them out of his system.
I don't know. I don't see how he doesn't fit in with them. Like, it would be nice for him to become friends with them, but he doesn't fit in with them. Like, Logan likes to hang out with guys like Dick.
Yeah.
He can hang out with Weevil by himself, but not as joining part of his group.
I hate how he has to put on a face for Dick and Beaver, like Logan does, and that's what's holding him back from being friends with people like Weevil, who he would have a strong potential to connect with. And I'm thinking back to when they had a Hive Veronica in the house, and your favorite person of all time, Aaron Eccles, gave Veronica's bag back to her and lied and said that it was the sister's. I just feel like it's really ridiculous that Logan can't just tell his friends what's up at this point, because he's so much more intelligent and worthy than Dick, and he deserves to be able to do what he wants and be able to break those boundaries. I mean, I guess eventually he did at the party for Nott when he told everyone to get out of his house, they didn't like Veronica, but I feel like in the end of the day, it would really help if Logan just went with what he wanted and stopped caring about the class he's in. Who else does he have either? He doesn't have any true friends at this point. Just stick with Weevil. Weevil's on the outs. I hope that that's what brings them together.
Yeah. And if you think about it, Weevil's not only on the outs with his biker gang, but like the biker gang is a lot of his family.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, like family members, not even just like, hey, you're my best friend. You're like,
no, like his cousins. Like
family members. Yeah.
That's going to be an awkward family reunion.
Yeah, it's not looking good for Weevil, unfortunately.
It was, for me, it was so weird seeing him at the best, and it was, like, so sad, because you think of Weevil as, like, this big, cool, tough guy, and then he's, like, getting off the bus. He just seemed like, it was like he was walking into school naked, like.
Yeah, because he always has his lackeys behind him, you know?
Yeah.
And why would you waste such a great bike? That doesn't make any sense.
Seriously, come on.
Keep it for yourself.
Know, or like, sell at least it for give parts.
Give it to your little brother or like sell it for parts or something.
You know? Why are you driving it into the ocean? That is dumb.
Yeah, they work at like car places and stuff, like the junkyards, and they know how much money has gone into those, but it's super symbolic because that's his throne being thrown into the water, so they just had to do that. How do you ride a bike into the water and not fall off and like hurt yourself? That's just really like not logical. Not really.
You just put it in neutral and push, I would think.
Yeah, if anything. I was thinking like riding it off to the sunset and jumping off the last minute. Or riding
pulling
it
like
the
an
water.
Eagle Knievel over the cliff and
yeah, totally.
Just kind of bailing.
Yeah. Have mercy! Uncle Jesse.
Yes, Uncle Jesse! So Thumper killed Felix, or so we're made to believe. What are your theories on why that would be? I guess.
This is where it's starting to feel Shakespeare to me. Adriana, back me up as a fellow English major.
Okay, it's really confusing. So obviously something happened. They killed Felix because he was dating Molly or something like that. And he must have gotten in. Maybe he was dating... No. She said that nobody knew about it, right? Because I was going to say, maybe he started dealing for them so that they would accept him and Molly. But... I don't know. This is really confusing. Maybe Thumper killed him because he thought that he was betraying them with Molly.
Maybe Thumper was in love with Molly.
Maybe, but I don't know.
It could be I honestly don't remember what happens. I have to look into it. But one idea could be that they had been working with the Fitzpatricks for a while, like since then. And maybe they thought Felix crossed the line by being with Molly, like in their involvement with the Fitzpatricks.
But they would have told Weevil by now. They would have told Weevil about Felix, and Weevil would have dealt with Felix. So that's why it's strange.
That's
because
true.
Thumper went behind Weevil's back.
Well, maybe Thumper found out about Felix and Molly, and so he used that as like leverage to get him into trading.
To what, take over?
Maybe, I don't know. Oh, that's a good idea, Mitch. Maybe he wants to take over.
Yeah, it feels like he does, because he seems like he's been brewing for a while and looking for a way to do it. So Apparently killing one of your own is going to make everyone trust you. I don't know how I understand how that works, but...
Yeah, I know. It's all confusing.
I would just like to point out, though, that Molly's face is so weird. It's, like, super Botoxed. And there's no way she's 17.
Yeah, exactly. And she reminds me of Lynn, right? Lynn Eccles?
Yes. So, end of rant.
End of rant.
So, yeah, okay. So, then we could probably ask ourselves what's going on with Curly, Adiana, because... Sure. Curly is so left field, don't even know what's going on with him. I don't even remember his reference, but I just saw a video on this episode of Felix beating up a man that he worked with, and that's all I know. Am I supposed to know more at this point, Danielle? Or like, can Adiana and I just speculate off of that video?
Wait. Okay, Thumper showed Weevil a video of Weevil beating up Curly.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. You said Felix before, so I was confused.
Yeah.
I feel like they're trying to make Curly seem really important, but I still don't feel like he's really relevant.
Fetch is never going to catch on, Gretchen.
Sorry, what were you saying, Danielle?
I'm trying to think. I feel like back in the first few episodes, Weevil may have found out something about Curly in the and the bus crash, because one of their people was in the bus crash, I think.
I thought Curly was an adult.
Right. No, Curly is an adult, but I think one of the
he didn't find out.
And then they beat up Curly?
No. He died before that happened, because Veronica told him after he died and he washed up and they found his Weevil's earring. I mean, maybe Weevil found out. But then if Weevil found out who did the whole entire bus crash, he would have told somebody.
Yeah.
And who did he love in that bus enough to kill Curly if Curly was responsible?
His cousin, right? Or was it his friend? Anyway, one of the gang members was in this.
I feel like it was somebody that they knew, was on the bus.
It's just, once again, why is the gang not acting as a gang would and ganging up on the traitor together? They're... Weevil acted alone, and so did Thumper. I don't see why they didn't just get together and be like, hey, we don't like Curly, we don't like Felix, let's take them both out.
I mean, the gang was probably around when they got rid of Curly, because someone was taking the video.
Yeah, okay, and that's kind of sleazy, because that's obviously betraying your gang for no good reason, and that's another good reason to not trust Felix, because if he's willing to do that to...
Thumper.
Oh, sorry. If
Felix is dead.
Yes. If Thumper is willing to do that to Weevil to blackmail him, even when you're supposed to be family, because that was done at a moment before betrayal had happened, I don't see why the rest of the gang wants to follow Thumper. So that's going to be really tumultuous. I think
They probably don't know. He probably did it in secret so that he could use this as leverage later on, since obviously he wants to be the leader.
Well, wasn't everyone else still around when Thumper showed Thumper showed Weevil that cell phone video?
No, everybody else had gone.
Okay. They took the bike.
All right. So, yeah, that's that, I guess.
Yeah.
It's confusing but I suppose we're all understanding more later.
Speaking of Curly, I don't actually think that he has that much to do with this. Because if he killed all the kids on the bus, why was he at the memorial crying? That's where Veronica saw him.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he knew that this was his death coming up. Maybe... He was just like, oh crap, I know I've gotten caught, so I will mourn for my own life, not for the kids here. And then
unless he fit, like, whatever he did to the bus, because we're assuming he's a car fixer or whatever, a mechanic.
A car mechanic.
He's a car fixer.
So he was probably hired to, like, twist something there so that it would go off the rails. Unless he was hired to do that and he didn't know that the plan was to... send kids off a cliff.
Like he thought it was for another movie or something.
Oh, yeah, maybe he thought it was just for a movie.
Yeah, maybe he did.
Totally.
Oh.
No, that makes more sense.
Maybe he even killed himself then. Maybe he felt so guilty.
Because he's like, crap, I was trying to do something for a job and it turned out it wasn't. And we can't forget Aaron Eccles definitely has an involvement in this too. So
Then he should have totally told on whoever did it.
Curly should have, as opposed to killing himself. Because, I mean, he has guilt, but the guilt word deserves to be. You didn't know what you were doing.
Or maybe he did it on purpose. Maybe he's evil.
We don't know because we've never met him. We've only seen him once where Veronica like gave him like a consoling hand on the shoulder, and that was it, right?
Yeah, but we also found out he didn't just work in Eccles. He worked for Big Dick too, so he probably worked for like every 09er household.
Yeah, but like doing card jobs, like good stuff. Not yeah, like...
but that opens up like it couldn't. It may not have been Aaron Eccles. It opens up to like basically anybody with enough money to get their cars fixed.
But I like to believe that it's Aaron Eccles because then it reminds me of Loki, and Loki's a pretty cool villain as of Thor 2 because he's always working in jail to like manipulate people, and that's like a classic gangster thing too, like people calling in favors from jail to the people on the outside that they still have that are loyal to them. And I like that storyline, but like, I'd like it if Aaron did something more because he's alive for a reason. Don't pull a Meg, don't kill him for nothing, like make it important.
So why would someone want to kill the poor kids? It doesn't really, like, it doesn't make a lot of sense, it seems like a weird coincidence.
What if they're just, I don't know, like a sick sadist who's looking to purify Neptune or something in a weird way? That's the only thing I can think of. I don't know. I know, and Danielle's, you know, brewing over with her no comments right now. I can feel them vibing through my computer.
She's brewing with no comments, and oh crap, I can't remember. Oh, it's terrible.
Read the Wikipedia page. It'll fill you in.
I know. I actually am right now.
See, kids, Wikipedia is coming in for something. Don't let your teachers tell you that it doesn't.
It seems so bizarre.
Yeah, it is really bizarre.
Okay. Well, I'm sure things will become a little bit more clear in the next episodes. Yeah. So let's look forward to that.
Let me see. What else?
Gia's dad.
Yes.
Is a creeper.
Mm-hmm.
You think so?
Well, he had something to do with this because he told her not to get on the bus. Why would he tell her that? Unless he knew something was going to happen.
Yeah.
If he didn't do it, he was tipped off.
Yes. And then if he was tipped off, he should have told someone else before the bus crashed. So that means
he's in on it. And since he didn't tell them, he's evil.
Basically, he's in on it. He has to be, because he told his daughter to get off. Plain and simple. There's no other way.
And they're new in town. You can't trust the new people.
I mean, technically, they've lived there for a while, but Gia just came back from... Yeah, I mean, we don't see them. They're technically new to the show, but they've been there. Gia just went to private school.
I can see some kind of... Some other school. I can see a really interesting twist happening with Gia being evil and her pretending to be stupid this whole entire time, but
that would be awesome.
Yeah, that would remind me of the movies Scream, because typically
yes.
That's what they do with
those. Oh my god, don't talk about scary movies.
Well, Scream is like one of the only ones I can do.
It works like a Veronica really Mars smart. Mystery to a certain point. It really does.
It's really smart because it breaks down how those kind of movies work, but I digress.
Yeah, totally. I think I've referenced these as good bouncing off points from Veronica Mars to go to like other media people would enjoy, and as other than Adriana, of course.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Minus the horror elements, they are Veronica Mars boiled down.
It's good stuff.
Who done it?
Who done it? Speaking of who done it, the hit and run accident with Wallace and Richard. How do you like this storyline with Wallace? Like, having Wallace be in the thick of this kind of thing? Or what do you feel? How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, it gives Wallace something to do, and I'm happy that he has something else going on for himself, and it's not like it's a B-plot that I don't enjoy, but it's a B-plot.
I like that he had his own life outside of Veronica at some point in time. I don't know how to feel about this, though, because Wallace, they hit a guy. And then they drove away, and Wallace didn't do anything about it. And I mean, he tried to do something about it later, which is good. And he is just a kid, which is understandable. But, I mean, if you hit a person, like, you should get out, right? Like, you should get out of the car.
Yeah.
Even if you're not the driver.
And toss his body in the water, like, I Know What You Did Last Summer. Too many horror movie references.
That one
okay,
I don't.
But
I mean,
somebody,
I do know, but I don't. Sorry, go ahead.
If somebody wanders into the street... Like, this is what I can't understand. People who do hit and runs, like, if somebody wanders into the street, it's partly their fault, too. Like, it's an accident. You should call the cops, and then you'll be okay, right? Like, I mean, he was a little bit intoxicated, but it's better than getting arrested later on.
Yeah, I mean, and then you have your passenger as a witness too, and they take them into the two separate rooms and they pull a prisoner's dilemma and they try and find out the truth. Everyone's going to be fine once the stories match up that the guy wandered in, you know, because when do they really have time to sit there and put out their story before the cops get there? So it would have been smarter if Wallace and Richard just, you know, straight up called the cops. But I don't think that was Wallace's fault. I think to put it all on Richard, because Richard seems like he's just money and sex driven and didn't want to lose that fame that he's gained.
Well, right. I mean, that for normal people, having turned themselves in and get the DUI in the first place would be the smartest idea. But for Richard, it ruins everything.
I guess that's true.
Because he's underage, so he would not be able to... Basically, he's playing to be like seen by college scouts and play college ball. So if that happens, his career is over. We don't really... For Wallace, it would have been a good thing for him, because we don't really get the idea that he's gunning for some sort of college basketball scholarship. So it would have been okay for him. But for Richard, it would be the end of everything that he's worked for and that his uncle has been kind of working and pressuring him for.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So, yeah, that's kind of where the complications run in. So I think Wallace expressed it best when he was disappointed in himself for not going back. I think it was the last episode where he was talking to Veronica and he didn't want to tell her because it would be a reminder to him of what she would have done and how he was ashamed of what he did.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? I thought that was really poignant.
Yeah, good point. Mm-hmm. Well, she works as his guardian angel for a lot of things, so.
Yeah.
And she always seems to do not the right thing, but what she thinks is the right thing. stealing a baby.
I mean, yeah, they align for most of the time, so.
You know, it's funny to me that Wallace was not in on any of this Duncan business, because how does she hide that from him this whole time? Like, oh, excuse me, Wallace, I had to go give diapers through the wall to that crying baby. Oh, don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah, and how did Mr. Mars never see, like, never hear the baby crying? Newborns cry a lot.
Maybe that's why she had the radio on really loud.
Oh, wow, that's pretty good.
Oh, my gosh.
That's cool.
Danielle, you've solved it.
at all hours of the day, nonetheless. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Oh, you got it. You nailed it.
To drown out the baby cries or anything that she would be saying to Duncan.
Totally. That makes sense.
And also to like get her dad to leave her alone in her room.
Mm-hmm.
She's moping.
It's a good thing he had to get toilet paper, huh?
Yeah.
You know what? If she was smart, she would have always checked the toilet paper supplies in his room and then filling them up consistently so that he never had to worry about going into hers.
Yep. One step ahead.
One step ahead, Veronica.
But getting back to the hit and run, were you happy to see that Jackie was actually doing something good for a change?
Yeah.
And that she was in on it?
It was shocking, wasn't
it? She's, shockingly enough, growing on me.
Why? Yeah. I didn't get to that stage, though.
I thought it was kind of funny. I liked her using her powers for good.
I liked their high fives.
Yes.
go ahead, please.
No, I was just going to say, when did you figure out that she was in on it? Yeah.
I didn't. I basically saw it right when she came over and high-fived. That was it. Like, I didn't see it happening at all. Because we've seen her with other guys already flirting with them. So I was like, all right, check another one, and Wallace will forgive her for this again. But this time around, it was turning out that the audience was once again fooled, which is another reason I didn't like these two episodes, because I don't like being fooled that hard. I wish that we're just in on it. I know it makes it more fun, but I like to trust the protagonists. I really do. It makes me feel jaded in the future, just like Keith, to not be able to trust Veronica. I trust that she could tell us what's going on, and we could see what's behind closed doors.
Ariana, when did you figure it out?
I figured it out as soon as when she walks out and Veronica sees her and smiles and starts driving as, like, the club. And that's when I thought, I remembered the guy from the other episode.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
in the police
station. Yeah, who was like, I can get you in the clubs in LA. Because it was so random. I was like, that's going to come up later. And then it was like, oh my gosh, yes, her club friend is going to help her out. And then he did.
Little did he know exactly what he was doing. He was just like, oh, I'll steal a cell phone. Yeah, no big deal.
I mean, he seems like a pretty cool guy. I don't know many police officers or people who work in police stations that moonlight as a bouncer. So,
and not as cage dancers.
Or cage dancers. So, I don't know.
But why is he offering to get an 18-year-old into a club? Yeah, that's kind of sketch. And then he's like, you can stay.
No yeah. thanks.
He definitely was like, you know, either hitting on Veronica or overly trying to be friendly because no one else was. I don't know if he was, you know, a legitimately nice person or just horny. I couldn't tell. Because, I mean, he didn't turn her in. I mean, he obviously could have been like, 18-year-old right here, guys. Look, we've got her, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, he could have been luring her in. Totally. Who knows? Yeah. Good point.
There's a new kind of undercover cop. The friendly cop.
The friendly cop. Do we think that this episode, or like the Wallace storyline, wrapped up a little too easily with him then being able to play in the basketball game and like, oh, everything's going to work out?
Yeah, because he was still, I feel like he still has to get arrested for stuff, right? Because he was like an accessory and...
Mm. Yeah, we can't be done with that
stuff
yet.
Like that.
Yeah.
I agree, Ayana. There's going to be some arrests happening in Wallace's
No, I think we're pretty much done with it. I just wish we weren't.
I don't think we're done.
It makes things more interesting.
I do think that they're not going to stop. The uncle's going to be continuing on. I hope he does, because I feel like Team Veronica was a little bit too excited and public about their high fives for it to turn out that nicely. I was like, oh, that's a little bit too bittersweet right there. I see something going wrong.
Yeah, it was just weird. Like, for a hit-and-run case, I feel like there should be more in this episode.
That's why I feel like there'll be more, but I can't tell, because Danielle is hinting at it being closed off forever also, so I'm going to assume it's done now.
I'm going to repeat, Danielle does not remember. Danielle's memory's not good right now.
So here's the thing, you would remember if Wallace went to jail. That's what we have on you.
I know. Well, see, okay, I rewatched the series. I tried rewatching the series like during my last semester of college again. Like, this would have been the second time around, and I got through to, I think, this episode. So it's been a really long time since I've seen like the rest of them.
Your brain just cuts off at that second rerun.
Yeah, kind of. So I have to look ahead and do my research, and then I will be back to form hopefully next time.
Yeah, but pull a Marma and watch super far.
Although I kind of like this, because then you get to like theorize with us.
Yeah. But then I don't want to lead anybody astray. Or I don't want to unknowingly give up what's going on. Like, if it's like kind of planted in my brain and I don't realize it, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, like like a situation that happened with Ariana that I can't spoil the whole entire audience with, but you know what I'm talking about, right, Ariana?
Yes.
There's something that yes, that's all we can say.
Let's move on.
Yeah, we can't do that. We can't do that.
Favorite scenes.
Yes. So yeah, that's pretty much it. We talked about the Fitzpatricks and the hit and run. So yeah, favorite scenes. Mine was Weevil with the PCHers. Not that I enjoyed seeing Weevil get beaten up, but I just thought it was a really important scene for Weevil's character, and I kind of liked it.
I loved that line the guy gave him, Thumper, when he was like, I can't make pretty speeches, so I'm just going to say adios.
Mm-hmm. Adios. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, Weevil does make cool speeches.
he's a good leader for the most part, I guess. I don't know. Ariana, what was your favorite scene?
Mine was that super uncomfortable threesome in Jabba the Hutt. It was so funny. and Weevil and Logan are just like sneaking in the corner like a couple of Jedis, like,
yes.
It's not the droids, like, you're looking for.
Logan, like, slightly turns around and he realizes that he's sitting at the next table. Good job, guys.
And like, you don't look conspicuous, like, at all. Obviously, because, like, Weevil sits alone in coffee shops all the time.
Yeah.
That reminds me. I went to the library yesterday. I've been going like almost every Saturday because I have too much work to do. And there's always, I sit at the same table, and there's always this guy two tables down, and he's just like this teenage kid with a hoodie on. He always has his hoodie up, and he's just like sitting there at the table. And I'm like, what are you doing? You're not reading. You're not listening to music. He's just sitting at the table. I'm like, is this a drug deal? Is something going on?
In the library, a place of learning.
Sitting at the library, like on the table, just not doing anything at the same time every week.
Does he ever meet up with anyone else? Does he ever meet up with
No,
Logan?
He just sits there.
Maybe they do like a drug deal the same way that the Fitzpatricks do, the PCHers. Just leave it in a book and walk away at some point, you know?
Maybe.
Come back in a couple hours and no one else will notice.
A library would be a great place to do a drug deal. I'm just saying.
Stop giving them ideas, Ariana. You know Weevil's listening.
Yes. Mitch, what was your favorite scene?
Mine is the one time that Jackie wasn't a bitch face, because that's pretty rare, isn't it?
That is pretty rare, yeah.
She did have a bitch face, but she used it on the right people.
Yes, indeed. I'm not sure why she did it. Probably because she's just... I'm going to go with because she was horny. That's what I think she was doing. I don't think she loves Wallace. I think she's just digging his sweet love and hug afro.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. She wants that bushy head of hair or something. I don't know what she wants. Those basketball biceps.
Mm. Okay, favorite lines. Mine comes from Ariana's favorite scene, actually, with like the awkward threesome. And Veronica says, isn't this a very odd coincidence? Or wait, are you guys like roomies now and he ate your peanut butter and now you're not speaking?
Cute.
So cute. Because they would totally make the best roomies.
Oh my god, they just need to be roomies now. Especially since Weevil got kicked out and Logan needs a roomie. Duncan's gone.
Duncan's gone, yeah.
Yeah, who's paying for that hotel?
That's true.
Logan is like rich beyond measure right now.
I guess he's probably just like, hey, yeah, he kind of like just disappeared or something, so
he's got his trust fund.
Yeah. Definitely. Right. When he turns 18 or something. He's not there yet though.
I thought we assumed that he was. Wasn't there an argument that he was?
He was 18.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh. Sweet. So there you go. He's set. He'll pay for that hotel room until the day he dies. Why doesn't he just buy a house? Like, get over it. Do it.
Because he doesn't have to cook his own food or clean or make his bed.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. I'd go for that, too. Yeah.
Or really hire people to do it because it's all included. He has a pool, valet parking.
I guess. But, like, you could have all that at the house, too. You can have all
Yeah, he could. He really could. He could afford it.
I guess that he has more security in a hotel because, you know, yeah. He's had his last house burnt down. So that's why he has, like, a deadbolt on his door, and that's pretty much it. And he's kind of hidden because no one exactly would know where he is. So.
Yeah, exactly. Ariana, favorite line?
Okay. My favorite line was in that same scene where Veronica goes, so we're sneaking. I've got a pantomime horse costume you can use. Do either of you have any experience being a horse's ass? It's like, yes, thank you. I did have an honorable mention, though, that I wanted to mention.
Sure,
and it's when they're talking about, Weevil and Logan are talking about how the Fitzpatricks could pass drugs and money. And Logan's like, in church, where are you going to pass packages of drugs and money? Because as soon as he said that, I was like, oh, Logan. And then Weevil's like, you ever been to a Catholic church? It's like... yes, that's like a library. It'd be like the best place to pass drugs and money.
Because no one's going to suspect it, because it's a nice place of happiness and friendship.
And it's one of those places where you would feel weird investigating or like tearing apart because it's a church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, there's just like so many like passing around of stuff.
Like money.
Yeah, like money.
Totally.
And Mitch, I want to hear your favorite line with an impression, please.
You've got it. All right.
Yes.
So mine is when Keith Mars is tricking Inga to do all of his dirty work because he's going to steal his little card. And when she comes back and she's all done, she just goes, how was your book? And he says, weird, but I expect it'll start making more sense soon. And I wish you could see me right now because I'm bobbing my head and smiling half smiles.
I love it. Keith. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome, Adam. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. So we have just a few pieces of listener feedback for you, and we were very excited to get them. So, Mitch, would you like to start with that first tweet there?
Sure thing. This is from Twitter. It comes from Mary Mulqueen, a.k.a. Chocolicious 8025, Woo! Who wrote into us saying, at Rewatchable, loving your podcast. Rewatching VM for fifth time along with you guys and desperately waiting for the movie. Yes, we are too. And now we all get to gather up together. At least three of us do so.
Five times? That's intense.
Yeah, that's great.
I mean, I've heard of people doing that for Harry Potter, but for a TV show, that's dedication.
That's awesome.
Seriously.
So awesome. Our second tweet comes from Sonia Abraham, and she says, I'm not proud of myself, but I definitely went on a full V-Mars bender today. Season 2 is definitely my favorite. Mm-hmm. Okay, one, you should totally be proud of yourself for going on a full-on V-Mars bender. That is awesome, and that is probably one of the best ways to do it. Ask Marla, because she did that for like 18 hours, I think. and it's really nice to hear people say that they like season 2 because you don't get it often enough. So, and you know, I think it's enjoyable.
I was thinking about it, and I feel like season 1 is more high quality, but season 2 is more, in some ways, more fun. It reminds me of like Hunger Games and Catching Fire. Like Hunger Games is obviously the superior book, but Catching Fire is my favorite because it's more fun.
Same, it's my favorite too.
Hey, good point. I like that.
Yeah, that was good. We also got an email this week. Ariana, you want to take that one?
Yes, this was so cool. We got an email from Gert. I'm going to butcher your name. I'm sorry. That happens to me all the time, so I sympathize. Gertrude Fludahl, and she says, hi, I've been listening to you from the start. Love the podcast. You guys are great, especially love the newbie theories. Thank you. I know they're ridiculous. I'm kind of glad I've seen both series before, though, because otherwise I'd have a hard time not watching ahead. This week's last episode, episode 10, was the first episode I watched of Veronica Mars. I'm happy it was my intro into the series because it shows a lot about the TV series. The humor, the wonderful dad-daughter relationship, and Veronica's cleverness, but also that it deals with some serious issues. Gertrude, 21 years old, Norwegian girl. How cool is that, guys? People are listening to us in Norway.
I know.
That's awesome. And episode 10.
That's so exotic and cool.
And episode 10 is a great one to come in because it has the sassy juror lady.
Yes.
Yes.
Indeed. You need a sassy juror lady to justify everything in life, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. All right. And we noticed that we got a new iTunes review, and we're so excited. Mitch, you want to read it out loud?
Sure thing. This comes from Charlie Musgran, and their title for their review was very awesome. They wrote, currently listening to the VM episodes and really enjoying them. I finally started Firefly so I can listen to the previous episodes without being spoiled. I love hearing the newbies' theories and all the no comments. What a fun podcast. What a fun review.
Thank you so much.
Yay! So we love iTunes reviews.
That was sweet. Yes, but it's,
that wasn't tell them how they can be cool, like these people, Danielle.
Go for it. Go for it.
Oh, yes. If you want to be like Marie, Sonia, Gertrude, or Charlie, you can contact us in numerous ways. You can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at re_watchable. You can comment on this post on hypeable.com, and we will talk right back to you. Let's start a discussion because those are always fun to do. And hey, if I get a few minutes away from what I'm working on at work, it's wonderful. and you can leave us a review on iTunes so that people like Charlie can find us and listen and enjoy and just kind of find out anything else that we might rewatch in the future. And what will they get if they leave us a review on iTunes, Ariana? Do you have
if they give us 5 stars, we will let them borrow our pantomime horse costume, and they can use it for whatever they like.
Oh, so handy!
Maybe Logan and Weevil cosplay. You know.
Yes, hey. Maybe Weevil and Logan will be beside the horse costume.
Depends on how awesome the review is and how much it mentions Adiana's name.
Yes.
The more you mention her, the more of a chance that there's Weevil or Logan in there. We won't tell
we'll
you which one
it'll
be.
Pull some strings, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening today and for listening to our very impersonation-heavy podcast. We enjoyed it very much, and we hope that you did too. And we will see you next time for the next two episodes. So we're going to say goodbye so we can all get watching. So I'm Danielle.
I'm Mitch.
I'm Ariana.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye, bye everybody.
We're recording in Mitch's bathroom. Everyone enjoy.
Wonderful.
We're in Mitch's bathroom.
Yes, we are in Mitch's bathroom. Welcome to Mitch's bathroom. The girl's room.
I love that.
It's good acoustics in there. Yeah.
It's good. It's got to go in there.
Well, I'm recording in my car, so.
You're recording in your car?
What?
Yeah.
Wait. What? This is too cool. This is like, we're everywhere today. Ariana, please tell me we can throw back to when Ben Shane, a MuggleCast, was recording in his car using someone else's, like a neighbor's Wi-Fi, like on the street at night.
I didn't listen to that episode.
I didn't hear that one either, but Ben Shane makes me laugh.
It was classic. I feel like that's exactly what Ariana's doing right now.
No, I'm using my own Wi-Fi, but there's like, oh my God, I'm such a stereotype. There's like 12 people and 12 of my mom's cousins in my house right now. So I'm recording in the car.
And I have just someone sleeping in my bedroom. So I was just like, I guess it's time to record in my bathroom today, huh?